All right, guys, welcome back to the fourth final hour here of week three of Bounce Power. Adam, I follow those guys down the alleyway. Or cool. Turn the corner. What do I see?
Well, we'll get back to you and your funeral in a second.
Okay.
So we come back to, I just want to check in with Belsa and Theron. In the estate back home, is there anything that the two of you want to do? You know, Belle, you spend most of the evening like working on this stuff, but you do need to take breaks, right? Like at some point your eyes start to glass over and you have to like go for a walk or something. What do the two of you do with the rest of your evening? Because I want to make sure that we get a chance to see what you're up to.
Oh, I continue to pal around with the son and do everything in my power to just be as buddy-buddy with him as possible. Mm-hmm. And whatever he wants to do, man, I'm so up for it. That sounds like so much fun. I just follow him around and, like, kiss his ass.
Okay, sure. So maybe we see the two of you playing, like, holo chess or something in the castle's library. You know, you're sitting at a table and like, playing it. It's like, yeah, like, he beats you again. And, like, I don't know, are you letting him win?
Yeah. But every time I do, it gets, like, I try a different strategy. And when he beats me, I tell him why, and it's always because, like, well, that was the big toy maneuver created by,
right.
You know, a Zabek spy, right? And so, like, it's all aliens, and how all their alien strategies are garbage, and how this one lone human boy is destroying all countless years of but it's all made up and, like, bullshit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Excellent counter to the gambit, sir. You understand this so intuitively.
Right.
All right, cool. I think that he let's make, I'll get you to roll a charm roll to see how this effort goes to continue your
my charming of a young boy,
your ingratiation to this kid.
Okay.
So you've already started and dinner went pretty well, so
I rolled a super charm on him earlier too. So
mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'm keeping track as you work on him. Charm difficulty 2.
Okay. Charm away, little boy. Let's do this.
Ooh.
Oh God.
Okay. So you don't get the thing. You don't get the thing you wanted, but you do gain some different advantage. So here's what happens: you like walk him through this, and maybe you like help him see the point where you're like, "See, these are all alien strategies," and you've like beaten them. I think that he says to you, he's like, "It wasn't always like this, was it? With the aliens being so savage and difficult. I mean, weren't they part of the?" Of what came before the Empire? I heard a story about the Republic and in the Senate and how things were before the Empire. And I was told that the aliens used to contribute to society. Is that true?
And I'm like, do you know why the Empire was formed? And give him, like, the longest history lesson there ever was about how, like, the Emperor had to take over. Because the aliens had given in to their Jedi masters because they were so this other species are so dim-witted, but the Jedi easily mind controlled them into all sorts of corrupt and vile things, and the Emperor was the only one who stood against them and was rewarded for such bravery, and you know, he was appointed High Chancellor, and he's what led the Republic beyond its primitive roots into something so amazing and wonderful as the Empire.
So he listens to the story and absorbs it, and he says, I think that when you mention the Jedi and like how the Jedi were the ones that made the aliens do all these stupid, terrible things, and they're just like, they're foolish and simple and that they follow like what smarter people tell them to do. I think that when you mention the Jedi, his eyes light up, and not in a like, ooh, I love the Jedi kind of way, but in a like, oh, that's interesting. Like, tell me more about that. And he says to you, he's like, my father says the Jedi never existed at all.
Oh, the Jedi were real. And I sit down and I give him like that, like in depth, oh, we about to have a real conversation kind of talk. Like, get some s'mores, because it's going to be a long night. And I'm going to regale you with crazy stories about how these rogue magic users went around the galaxy murdering and pillaging and killing all sorts of people. And the reason why they don't tell you about them anymore is because they don't want to scare young kids. But I think you can handle it. Like, you're totally. I think you're adult enough to know.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the angle on him, right? Where he's just like, yes, I definitely, I'm not scared. You tell me the realness about these Jedi.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So while that's happening, Bill, what are you gonna get up to?
Honestly, like Belle's aware that Tharren is just grooming the kid, mm-hmm. so she's not gonna get involved in that. I think maybe it's just like walking the grounds, maybe with a couple of the stormtroopers, just like relaxing, and then just like hitting this console again. Like, she's pretty dedicated to her order, and if she's given a job, she'll see it through. So it's more, I don't think she's really having a good time kind of just getting shit done.
Yeah, being productive.
Going through this computer, which I keep fail rolling.
Okay, so you're just like real focused on your job. I think maybe, yeah, you see the other, you see the stormtroopers on patrol, kind of like handling things, and then you dive back into this Moff's personal life.
And she's starting to get frustrated because she can't find anything, and so like, for her, that's like she's failing at her job. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a lot of frustration there. There's got to be something. Why hasn't she found it?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe we see you, and this is a bit ahead of where the other characters are, but maybe we see you like as like dawn comes, as like light is starting to come into the room, and you realize you've been at this all night. Like the light, you know, starts to pour into the room, and you still have nothing. Like that sense of like frustration with the Moth and with this planet and with all the pathetic.
So I get to roll again if I'm doing it all night.
Yeah, I'll give you one more roll.
All right.
You have like, yeah, you're just like at the very end of the night feeling like stressed out and frustrated, and and you can make one more roll.
This is two black, one blue.
I think at this point, it's the same data, so
I must have got through most of it though. So there must be less.
Yeah, take away one of the black. Take away one of your black ones, one of your disadvantages, because you are digging through it.
I believe in you, Sam. Use your powers.
I'm using a light side point too.
Okay. Jesus Christ!
Don't use all the points, man. Fuck.
I'm
about to die. You're just reading a fucking manual.
You, so thank
Look,
you.
Yep. I gotta do it.
It's fine.
Yeah. The best part is just two characters just are out on their own right now.
Yeah. There. Bam! All right. So. You get to the end of the database, or you've dug through everything. You spent all night working through this stuff, processing this information, and there's nothing. There's no evidence here that he's anything but like a little incompetent. Now you can ask me questions about him, what you might have learned, but like that's the thing. There's no message that's like, hooray for the rebellion. There's no funneling of funds to the New Republic. There's no evidence, and it's clear, right? It's not a question anymore. There's just like, there's no evidence to be found.
Okay.
But again, you got three, so you can ask me about him or about like other business dealings. If you have specific questions, hit me.
Do I find anything else about his wife's father?
Yes. So, the Turnells are, an old family. They're from Alderaan originally. Her father is a businessman who, moved, to this planet to start a business. He owns, several factories, and he has a deal with the Moth. There's a contract there where they make, probably like infrastructure. So probably like cabling or something, but it's like part of that. So he's an Alderaanian businessman who left Alderaan shortly before it was destroyed. And his daughter, his daughter married the Moff.
Okay.
Yeah. So the
I mean, he wouldn't be Empire.
No, I mean, Alderaan was pretty not into the Empire generally. But he left, so that might be a good sign. You could look into the Turnells or to him particularly. Let me grab a name. We got a first name for this guy.
Mace Tynell.
Mace Turnell.
Mace Turnell.
His name is Warwick. Warwick Turnell.
Okay. And the last thing I want to see is I want to check what the factories are actually making.
Sure. Yeah. So like the factories that his father owned or the factory that he's visiting now?
The ones that he's visiting. Like there must be some kind of record of inventory or something.
Yep. Yeah, they're a droid processing factory. They make industrial droids.
That's it. So just like clean as a whistle.
Mining droids, that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It seems that way.
You know what his dad? What his dad made?
It's like city infrastructure stuff, mostly for like electrical equipment,
okay.
Generator parts, that kind of thing. Yeah. So the Moff is married to, or was married to, someone whose family is from Alderaan. So that's. That's the kind of thing that in the ISB database would like flag a like, oh, someone from Alderaan, eh? They don't like us very much.
So I'm making note of all the little things, but like I'm very aware that there is zero concrete evidence that
directly tying him to them for sure. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's like Dawn, so I'm not gonna bring that up right now. I'll probably like retire for a little bit and then rendezvous with Tharren in the morning and just kinda like give them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Lena, we cut at the dawn, Belsa looking exhausted at this monitor. Then we cut to a place where it might be dawn upstairs, but it's always middle of the night here. It's a neon lit, like rowdy sounding, there's a band playing somewhere in the distance, just one big room with tables all around the outside and then a bar in the middle. And, we get a pan across the bar and we see like just like aliens and humans all like mixing, lots of like ship crew looking type people. People are playing sabacc in one side of the bar around some tables. And so you walk in and it's loud and smoky and.
Well, before I walk in, I turn around to the kid and I hand him another credit and I say, I crouch back down to get eye level with him. And I say, well, tell your master I said thanks. And then I sort of like pat him on the back and walk in.
Yeah, and he nods and runs off to find another person to direct somewhere. Okay, where are you going to go?
The first thing I do is I walk in, I look around, obviously making my way to the bar, trying not to run into anyone to piss them off because this crowd probably doesn't look very nice. Mm-hmm, so, But then again, I would argue that my character doesn't look very nice either.
Yeah, you fit in. You look like a scary bounty hunter with a sword.
But, yeah, I go to the bar, and I'm going to look around to see if I know anyone.
Okay. So you can, if you want to, just spend one of your destiny points.
Oh, okay. I want to spend a destiny
Conjure up a person who you know.
I'm going to use the last one to conjure up a person, and I don't know how to do that. Oh.
There you go. I have all the points. But so you see a familiar face. I think on your left, you walk up to an empty spot in the bar, and on your left there's an old graying fur like Wookiee. He's got a like a flight vest on, and he's hunched over a cup of some bubbling like fluid. He looks up at you and growls. And when you look away, like the other way, not to like piss off the Wookiee. You see a familiar looking face. You see Neb. He's an old smuggler buddy of yours. He's a Rodian, Neb Plea. I don't think he recognizes you right away. Like you two look at each other and his like big beady bug eyes, he kind of like squints at you.
I walk up to him. Like I see him before he sees me. So I'm already making my way to him. And yeah. as he like looks at me, I sort of give him like this just dead stare, like just dead serious, like to try and catch him off guard. And then I just start laughing and I pull down the mask and my hand reaches back and slaps him on the back.
Yeah, he leans back and says something in Rodian, his little face going up and down, his little rubber face. Now you understand Rodian and he can understand you. So he's like, Lena, you scared me half to death. I thought you were a bounty hunter. And he like looks around. He's like, though, I think this place is full of bounty hunters. What are you doing on Terrace?
And I'm still like laughing because I just loved his reaction. But I'm like, what am I doing on Terrace? I'm here looking for work, of course, friend.
Yeah, he nods. What kind of work are you looking for?
I lean in, and I'm like, you'll never guess this, but I was looking for bounty hunter work.
He laughs. He's like, I thought you gave that life up.
I shake my head and I'm like, no, I gave up a life of crime for a life of being hired for whatever comes my way.
And he laughs, which Rodian laughter is probably really funny and sounds like a kazoo. But he laughs and he's like, if you're looking for legal work, you're in the wrong place. All the legal stuff goes on upstairs. And like points. He's like, the upper city. Though,
and I sort of like silence him and I say, no, I just came from there. I'm actually here on a job, not for a job.
And he looks around. He's like, oh, I don't pity your target. Oh, I remember that time with the Gundarks. And like laughs.
And I sort of, now, can I like look around to make sure, like, because those people were following me and I want to see, like, are they like in here now? Because I don't want them to get near and hear me talking to them.
Yeah, so you, the player, are aware they exist, but your character looks around and it's a crowded room, but you don't see anybody. Anybody
I make
like
it obvious that you. I'm like looking around. So
yeah, and I think Neb is like, did someone follow you here? You look nervous.
And I nod. I say, of course someone followed me here. And I said, you know, just some usual scum, probably. Don't recognize him though.
He says, well, you know what they say, scum floats to the top. And Middle City's about as high as scum gets around here. So if you've got someone looking for trouble, well, I feel bad for them, but watch your back.
And I sort of change the subject, and I lean in, and I whisper. I say, so what can you tell me about the Rebellion's presence? I say as quiet as possible as you can in the cantina. So.
Yeah, and you say that and like the Wookiee on the other side of you kind of like grumbles and like shuffles a little bit, and maybe like you both look over at him and he kind of like settles back into his stool. And Neb says, he's like, well, you know what they say when the cat's away, right? This place, he nods, it's coming apart. The Empire, they're not keeping things together, even on the Upper City. I heard there were fires. Rebellion's only a little ways away. And you've seen the graffiti.
I nod. I say, of course I've seen it. It's everywhere.
Why, are you looking for a rebel?
I sort of just take a deep breath and I just nod and I say, I need you to point me in the direction of someone who can lead me to them.
He kind of like he tense his long suction tipped fingers and he's like, well, that's the trick, isn't it? I mean, of course I know people, but whether I should introduce you or not, that's dangerous, and dangerous is expensive. Wow.
I just nod and say, okay, expensive, we got it. I got it. We'll do it. But you need to lead me to someone who can get me exactly there. No, to this person who goes to that person, I need to be in their presence by then.
He says, all right, for a couple hundred credits, I'll take you to somebody who can get you what you need.
Now, out of breaking the RP for a second, is that even possible for me to get?
What?
You're in the Empire. We got money out there. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, then I say,
We're not rebels. We don't have a bank. We don't have a bank account. We print money. We're the Empire. We print money.
I'm just making sure because I'm not technically an agent or anything. I'm just working.
Well, I mean, you're all still contribution rank zero, so it's not like you can be like, "Hey, Empire, I promised this guy a million credits. Can I just have that?" And also, build me a new desk.
A couple hundred, though. It could be like, you'd still have to
roll for it, but yeah.
Well, I'm gonna make them empty promises then. I say, don't worry, my employer, he pays well.
And he's like, "Oh, I'm sure he does, but I need you to pay well." And he like rubs his fingers together.
And you just see me laugh, and I'm like, "You know what? You haven't changed. You haven't changed.
I don't have
it
on me, pleb."
And I pat his back, and I'm like, "Do you think I just carry around a couple hundred credits in a place like this? I trust me. I've learned my lesson."
And Neb says, "Well, start with buying me a drink. We'll get caught up, and then I'll see if I can take you to meet your new friend."
And I immediately nod and signal over the bartender, and I say, "You know what?
A drink, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, we'll cut over now to Otto. So, Otto, my friend.
Yeah, let's talk about how the party used all the fucking light side points to look at information. The death-defying act of reading a computer.
I might get in a fight. I have, like, thieves just, like, on my ass.
It has the greatest honor of my life to serve in Bexar.
The best thing is, Otto had 4 stormtroopers with him, and he was like, "Stay by the ship. I'm going alone."
Because I had force points at that point in time.
Like, what the fuck?
We just wiped to like a bloody stormtrooper helmet lying on the ground.
You wiped to the fucking Star Destroyer in orbit as it's coming down to crash on me.
Yeah.
Well,
10,000 times the damage.
Yeah, it's 10,000 damage.
To be fair, you kind of put yourself in that position.
To be fair, reading's kind of hard for Sam, so I get it. I understand.
You understand my situation. I don't understand why Pocket had to use it.
Because she was actually in danger. You were just like, "I've failed so many times, I want to look good in front of people."
But I was in danger. Well, I have to go to Theron in the morning and say I didn't find shit.
You're still in danger even after using it. Versus me, I'm like, I'm in the middle of Scum City by myself going, "Oh, shit."
You're all agents. Do your shit. Get it done. Get it done.
So instead of running into the alley, I run to the edge and put my back and poke my head around stealthily.
Okay. All right. So you can hear. Actually, make a perception check. Let's see if you can hear them from where you are.
Okay. What's the degree? What are we rolling here? Two purples.
Yes, please.
Okay. Hey.
Okay. All right. So take a strain.
Yeah, I'm really stressed out because I know my fucking teammates.
The force is not with you.
Yeah.
So you get your back up against the corner and you like listen, and there's a little like kind of stage whispering, right? Like they're whispering, but we can hear them. So they're like, one of them is like, "Hurry, hurry!" And then you can hear clattering, and then there's a slight crashing sound, and then you hear another person's voice, a woman's voice, be like, "Don't drop it. Yeah, you're gonna blow us all up." And then there's more like you hear some beeping and maybe like the sound of like a spray, like an aerosol spray. There's some stuff going on. They're not talking to each other about it, but there is like some intense action.
If I peek my head around the corner, do I see anything?
Peek your head around the corner. Yeah. So
that was the intended action of it start.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to poke your head around the corner, you can see there's a group of 4 of them. Two of them are looking down either side of the alley. The third is attaching it looks like 2 like clear canisters that are attached to, some kind of like timer. There's a little computer screen on it. And this person is attaching it to the wall with some spray adhesive.
Oh, they're setting up a bomb.
They're definitely putting a bomb on the side of this factory.
Now, in the Star Wars world, if you shoot a bomb, will it explode?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely it will explode.
How far away are they from me?
Are you going
to... they're at long range from you.
So what is that...
You're not even going to interrogate these people. You're just going to...
He's going to okay. shoot the bomb. He's just going to shoot
talk
the
about,
bomb.
Yeah, I want to talk about how precedent was set here for this. Oh. That, like, he did spend the entire first part shooting at children.
Look, these are... So,
and those were for minors.
From what I understand...
And kill everyone around it.
Otto's... Look, Otto's thoughts. These are members of the Republic setting up a bomb. I can't take four of them 1v4... But I can shoot a bomb and explode four of them.
Are you telling me you don't think Adam's going to use every single one of his dice to not only make it so that when you shoot it, it deflects off the bomb and hits you in the face, but also everyone realizes that you're an Imperial agent and then comes and kills us all. They take the bomb and bring it to the building and blow a hole in it and kill us all. We are dead. Do not shoot
that thing. I'm good. I'll just fly out of there. This was never a scout mission.
The great thing is, Hillary, is that when the bomb goes off and blows up the factory, it'll collapse into the middle city right on top of the bar you're in.
Aww,
there you go.
No, don't do it.
You're on a different continent. Okay. So, what
it's
do
a,
you...
It collapse through the planet itself to the other continent and kill you.
It's long range, so what is long range and like... Would I know if I shoot this bomb, will it actually hurt me?
The bomb...
I mean, judging by the size.
Let's make a roll. So you're going to make a mechanics roll, I think it's called.
Okay.
Make a mechanics roll. It's going to be difficulty 2.
Okay.
And I will let you know. Just eyeballing that bomb.
Wait, what? Okay.
You have no idea.
Oh.
If it doesn't display the result, it means it all cancels
out. Oh, that's right. You so I look at the bomb and go, fuck, it's a bomb. I should shoot it.
Yeah, that's definitely a rebel bomb for sure.
It's definitely a rebel bomb.
For sure.
So
yeah.
Is this alleyway connected to another? Like, does the alleyway on the opposite end of the street line up?
It's like an H shape, right? The two main streets with the alley.
Yeah.
And the alley's quite long, right? Like, it would take you a while to run from one end to the other because it's the side of a factory. Well, and they're kind of, like, closer to you. The whole thing is extreme range. Like, you couldn't even hit someone at the far end of the alley.
I open comms to the stormtroopers and call them to my position.
Okay.
And then I line up to take the shot. I'm going to use a round to, like, prepare, aim, shoot. So two rounds.
Okay. All right. So you tell the stormtroopers are going to be, like, on their way. They're headed there.
Yeah. So this is the actions. Prepare, aim, shoot. Next round, using an athletics check to fucking run.
Okay. All right.
So that's the point.
So you want to shoot them while they're still setting the bomb up?
I want to shoot the bomb, yeah. Yeah,
while, that's what I mean. Yeah, you're going to shoot it while it's... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So hitting the bomb at long range.
Just because I want to shoot a bomb so bad, this is awesome. It doesn't matter what happens.
Okay, three purple dice.
Three purple dice. Okay, and am I just rolling my weapon for this? It'll automatically tie it to the type because it's ranged heavy under the skill?
Yes, yeah, it will.
Okay, and then how many bonus die do I get for two aims? Is it two?
Two, yeah, you get two of them.
Okay.
Now, do you have... You're a sharpshooter, right?
Yes.
Do you have any talents that affect how you aim?
Yeah, I actually have... where are talents at?
Should be under combat.
I have sniper shot. Before making a non-thorn range attack, may perform a sniper shot maneuver to increase the weapon's range by one band per rank in sniper shot. Upgrade the difficulty of the attack by one range per band increase. Okay. So I'm shooting at a short or medium.
No, so what it does is it allows you to take a weapon that normally doesn't shoot that far, and it allows you to extend it further, so you can shoot at extreme range. So you can get further away if you want, but that's four dice. Of difficulty,
but it increases the attack range by... Oh, so it actually doesn't help me. Yeah. It just allows me to...
It doesn't help.
Shot.
It just makes you be able to take shots that are otherwise impossible.
All right. Yeah, I'm just gonna take the shot. So, two upgrades, three purple dice. Rolling here. All right. I hope this explodes.
Yeah, I'm not going to use any points because I actually really want you to hit the bomb. It's not the bomb. It's not you hitting that is going to be the thing I spend my points. Here's,
I like how Jesse is so anxiously awaiting this dice roll.
This was in no way your objective, but I can't wait to see what happens.
Here's the roll.
I'm nervous.
That's a fucking success.
Yeah, that's very much a success. So yeah, no problem. You can spend those advantage to reduce your strain if you want. You know, looking down the.
Let me look at some of the other rules here that I could do.
Yeah, yeah. So looking down the barrel of your gun, you can also pass it along to your next roll too. So you look down the barrel of the gun, and it's like, you know, the chaos of the world around you, all the noise and stuff, kind of like quiets down because you know. You're where you belong, right? You're a sharpshooter with your rifle in your hand.
Right.
And what do you want to spend your advantage on?
So if I use it says I can use two of them to perform an immediate free maneuver that does not exceed the two maneuver. I've already done two maneuvers, right? Because I aimed and then shot.
You could use it. So we're not really combat timing, but you can use one of those advantages to start running before the bullet even hits. Like you fire and then run.
You're out running a bullet now? Oh my god!
Like it's like you're tracking the shot so that you're pulling the trigger before you have the full shot, and then using that momentum to turn around and run. It's like you're making the running part of the shot, and then you can use the other one to buy up a.
Yeah,
let's do that.
He's using the recoil from the rifle to run
to push him away.
I don't know if you guys became aware, but this is now the Matrix, not Star Wars.
That's true. That's right.
So there's this, there's that high pitch, the like bang pop noise that the slug thrower makes. There's a ping as soon as it hits the bomb, and the rebel, like with his mask on, is putting the bomb up and spraying. And there's like bing, and he like looks over. He's like, "What the heck was?" And then just like. Huge. We don't even get it from the same perspective. We don't see the bomb. We just see a long shot of the neighborhood, and then just this column of fire as the factory just erupts. I mean, it was a bomb.
You basically did their job for them.
It's a bomb designed to take out a factory. So
took out an imperial factory.
You shoot and it blows up, and I need you to make a check to get the hell out of there.
Athletics. Auto.
Yeah.
And that's staged up, or it has one bonus die, right? Because the advantage?
Yes. So it'll be, let me take a quick look because I'm going to spend some points.
JP, you just made a bad situation awful. You blew up one of our own factories.
I mean, to be fair, rebels blew up the factory.
Was that the factory that just, was that where the Moff's landing ship was?
It's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you killed them off,
It's the middle. It's the middle of the night. He doesn't work at night. Don't worry.
I'm just gonna walk you into an airlock.
All you guys know. Look, all the three of you know, and everyone else knows, is that a bomb went off.
The rebels blew up.
Yeah, you don't know that I shot it.
Great.
No one knows what happened.
And everyone thinks I'm gonna do bad shit. Dang.
Why would you do that?
Killed 17 kids and blew up one of our own warehouses.
You're on a roll today. Otto is on a roll, guys. Yeah.
I'm going for max.
Okay, I just want to check and see. I want to check and see how many I can spend here.
What? Let's see. You just want? Oh my god! He's gonna blow him up. He's gonna blow up the wall of fire. Is gonna encompass you, and you're gonna die.
Okay. So I can use it. I can use two. I can use one to improve. One for my pool and one to reduce.
You're talking about the points, the decimal.
Yeah, I was
points.
Just double checking to see how many I can spend. So gotcha. So you're gonna make an athletics check to avoid the fire, avoid the explosion. Mm-hmm. If you fail, you'll take some damage. If you succeed, you'll take less damage.
If I crit, I take no damage.
Can we agree if you on that? Crit, if you get a triumph, yes, I will allow you to be the cool guy that walks away from the explosion. Go ahead and roll. I'm going to say three difficulty dice.
Three,
and I'm going to spend to upgrade.
So two blacks and one red.
Two purple and one red.
Oh, two purple and one red. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Okay. And then I have bonus. All right, here's the roll. Yeah, I succeeded. It wasn't a failure.
Okay. So take the strain. God, what about a despair? That would have been really bad.
Yeah.
So you take a strain.
Lost a leg or something.
Let me take a look at appropriate damage here. It's not like you're caught in the edge of a big explosion, but you knew it was coming and you started to run. They're all the rebels are evaporated.
As they should be.
As they should be. Is there? See, how much damage does a thermal detonator do?
You have killed more people than all of us by now.
Yeah, okay. I think you take 20 damage minus your soak.
20,000 points of
20 damage minus soak?
20 minus your soak, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'm at 19. I'm at minus 6 wounds.
So you're six over your threshold?
Yeah, because that's 19 current. Okay. Okay. My current threshold is 13.
Okay, oh my all right. God.
That was only success. He only took 20.
Oh yeah. So you take, you're gonna take a critical injury.
Great.
So there is actually a roller for this. Yeah, yeah. There's a little table now. So if you scroll down to critical injuries, there's no offset on your first one.
Okay.
So just click roll critical.
Okay. And then add critical.
No, just where it says roll critical with the little d20.
Oh, the big button. Okay.
Just be able to click that. And lower's, then it'll put it on your sheet as
lower is better, right?
Yes, you want lower.
This is probably the one roll that fucks up.
Yeah, now you like
that. Hey, that's not bad.
See, there you go. All right.
Cannot perform a free maneuver on next turn. Totally okay with that.
Yeah. Wow. You're unconscious, but until you heal this critical wound, it stays on your character sheet. So you have a critical wound.
So do I add the critical number of 17 to my critical number?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So then click add critical. What does that do?
Oh, no. So that'll add another one.
Oh, okay.
So this is the way that if I tell you have a specific critical wound, you can add it and I'll give you the number for it.
Okay.
Where you go for critical.
Oh, it added it. It added it there. Okay, I got it.
It'll make further ones worse.
I see it. I got it.
Yeah. All right. So You are unconscious, and I think what we see is we see the huge explosion, and then a couple of stormtroopers like picking you up, one of them is like, "Is he alive?" And the other one says, "Looks like it. Let's get him back to the ship." And they like your feet are dragging on the ground as they like pull you off to take you back to the shuttle. Good job blowing up a factory. It's good.
Got them rebels, though.
Look, I assessed this situation. That was the only way I could take the four of them out. There was just some danger that happened afterwards, you know?
Go count 21.
Yeah. It was fine. Totally. Cool. What do we think? Do we want to wrap here, or do we want to do another quick scene?
That's up to you guys. We're still 20 minutes from the hour, so it's up to the rest.
Okay,
of the
crew. Let's keep going. So let's jump back to the underworld. I just want to finish like the night. So I guess you're the only one who's still doing night stuff. So you are I guess later.
We've had a conversation. Your friend, we've been drinking.
Yeah, had a couple of drinks, Neb. Pats you on the back and points, and you see someone coming inside. You see an Ithorian and a group of humans, and they come in, and the bartender like waves like to greet this person, and a couple other people are like, they're like, "Hey," and like, you know, pat him on the back as he walks by or waves. He seems to be kind of an important person, and he goes to the far side of the bar and goes through a door in the back into like a back room, and Neb says, he's like, "That's Greenskin. He's kind of a big deal. I'm going to introduce you to him. He knows everybody worth knowing around here."
And I go, "Okay, well, why is he kind of a big deal? What has he done? Who is he?"
He says, "Well, we're not sure where he came from, but there's rumors. Some say he's a Republic agent. He certainly is a firebrand, though. He's the one that's responsible for a lot of what's going on in the middle city, bringing aliens up from the lower city, arming people."
"And do you know what he's arming them for? Why is he bringing aliens up here?"
He shrugs and he's like, more aliens in the middle city, the more uncomfortable the humans upstairs get. I mean, no offense. I love humans, but the Empire, well, they don't like our kind. And the more of us there are with guns, he kind of nods.
She doesn't really say anything on that. I mean, she kind of knows where he's coming from, but at the same time, she kind of knows what's going on upstairs, too, and can't talk about it. So, but she says, okay, well, let's meet this guy.
So he stands up, and he, as you're walking back towards the back, he's like, just let me do the talking. And the door slides open, and there's this like burly like Gamorrean standing there, and he like pushes Neb and like grunts something, and Neb says he's like, oh come on man, I thought we were good, we talked about this, I paid you for that, and then he like grunts again and gets up in his face, and like, drool dripping off of his tusks, and the two of them have a short conversation, and then the Gamorrean kind of like moves aside. And gestures for you to go in, and Neb is like, "See, I told you, I'm connected. Everything's fine." And, like, she's brushes just, like, some drool off of his vest.
She's just like thoroughly entertained by this, just watching him work. She just kind of looks around as well to see like the surroundings of the area. But
yeah, so it's a lot quieter back here. There's only a few tables, mostly humans. The tables, besides the drinks that people are drinking, there are like blaster rifles on the table. And you notice when you come in on one wall, there's up on a shelf, a row of stormtrooper helmets. Most of them are like broken or burned or like have blaster holes in them. And they're all just like lined up on this shelf as you come in. At the back, sitting under a light, the Ithorian, and you can see now with some proper light in the room why he's called Greenskin. Most Ithorians are like a brownish color. This guy looks like he took like a long algae bath, and he's sitting at the table, and you can hear him even from this distance. I guess you feel him talking before you hear him, because Ithorian speech is really low, so you feel that like weird vibrating in your chest, and he's like kind of holding court. He seems to be addressing the group of men and women that are sitting around him, and they're like kind of like nodding and talking.
Okay. Well, I have Neb lead on.
Okay.
Tell him to introduce me.
Yeah. So he takes you up to the front, and everybody watches the two of you like walk up to the front table, and the Ithorian says something in his like dual voice, and Neb says it's like, hey Greenskin, you have a good night, you and your troops fighting the good fight, and the Ithorian kind of like shakes his head and like looks at his friends, and they like laugh at Neb, and. Aww. And Neb says, he's like, look, Greenskin, I know you and I, we haven't always been on the best of terms, and there was that whole thing in the lower city, and look, I'm sorry again for that, and I'm good for it, I promise, but look, I got an opportunity for you. And the Ithorian like rumbles and starts to stand up, and he's like, no, sit down, man, it's fine. Look, no, it's real this time, I promise. And he turns to you, and he's like, this is my friend, Lana. She's a big deal. She's a great shot, Anna, and she's smart as a whip. And I just, you know, I wanted to introduce you because I think important people, they should know each other. And I'm nobody, but hey, look, I can make a connection here tonight in this cantina. I can put the two of you together, and it's going to be big things. I just know it. And the Ithorian, like, again, like, kind of rumbles and, like, slams his hand on the table, and, like, the cards that are on their table, like, jump. And
she sort of reaches out and grabs him as he's doing that, because he realizes like he's like so nervous and stuff, and she's like, you need to take a breather, and then she like holds out a hand and she says, hi, I'm Lana.
So, okay.
As he's like standing.
Sure. Yeah.
Fully
yeah.
confident, like she doesn't look scared or nervous by him at all. So.
Okay. Let's make a charm roll. Let's do a first impression roll for Greenskin here.
Difficulty.
Two purple and a black, because he's suspicious.
Okay.
But I'll give you a boost die too, because
okay.
You gave your friend doing your introduction.
Okay, I'm screwed. Nope.
Okay. So you take a strain.
Okay.
And he Greenskin like there's like a low rumble as he says something, and then one of his like lieutenants, there's a woman, she's wearing a She's wearing stormtrooper armor, like a stormtrooper, like chest plate and shoulders, with a there's like a deep like gouge in it that she's repaired with some kind of like sealant. So she's wearing that over like a flight suit. She's got a blaster rifle on the table in front of her. And she like gets up when you like put your hand out, and she shakes her head, and she's like, we don't know you. And looks at Neb, and she's like, we kind of know him. Who are you? What are you doing here? And you notice that like the door that you came in has like been closed behind you. And everybody at the table is all kind of like looking a little, like at the tables on the side of the room are looking a little nervous. Some of them have weapons in their hand, but like sitting on the table.
And I say, it's okay, you can relax. I come here as a friend, and I come here looking for work. I'm not here to start a fight, and I'm not here to hurt your friends. I'm just here to make new friends.
Yeah, and Greenskin lets out an annoyed sound, and the woman says, she looks you up and down. She's like, what are you, a bounty hunter? No, we don't need any bounty hunters down here.
And I said, no, well, I guess you could call it that, hired contract mercenary, looking for work. Obviously, it seems that things have been a little tense here since the last time I was here. Definitely some changes. Don't remember all the decorative art on the buildings last time.
Yeah, you look at it, and maybe she looks over at the row of stormtrooper helmets, and she says, yeah, you got a problem with the way we decorate?
And she says, oh, definitely not. So, like, because Lena is, like, definitely someone who seems really happy by the art of the helmets and the graffiti and all that. Like, she actually gets a kick out of it. So.
Yeah, I believe Lena. I don't know if she does.
Yeah, so
she says to you, yeah, well, things on this planet have gotten pretty rough lately. Everything changed when the Death Star got blown up, but there's still a fight to fight. And if you're here looking for money, you're going to have to look elsewhere. This is about ideology, not credits.
Lena just kind of sits there for a second. She looks over to Neb, and she's like, tough crowd. Didn't realize these people would be so talkative. And then she's like, well, perhaps I can persuade you into something if I tell you that I have information on the people you might be fighting.
She kind of cocks an eyebrow, and she's like, have a seat. And she looks over at Neb, and she's like, go get us some drinks. And he kind of nods. She's like, oh, okay.
Okay. Well, I point to the table. I'm like, first, these people need to relax before I have a seat. Because, you know, I see their hands on their weapons and stuff. I'm like, no, they need to relax.
She shakes her head. She's like, no, there's no relaxing. Not with strangers around. Don't worry. If you know something useful, we won't have any reason to shoot you. And when she says that, the Authorian laughs, and it's like the table vibrates a little with the sound of it. She gestures. Somebody gets up and like pulls this chair out for you.
Okay, so I sit down and I look at him, and I'm like, okay, well, I introduce myself. So, who are you? And I like look at the lady.
She says, I'm Talonol. She puts her hand out, and she like, do you shake her hand?
Yeah,
she gives you like a soldier handshake. Like, she shakes you, like grabs your wrist, like,
yeah,
a pretty firm grip. She says, she says, I'm Talonol, formerly the 501st.
Okay.
She like looks over at the helmets and back to you, and she says, but I mean, what's a name, right? I could be anybody. You said you know something valuable. What is it?
I stopped. I'm like, well, first I need to know what you're going to get me. What are you going to give me? Pay me? Are you going to give me information? What are you going to get? What are you going to offer me on this? I'm not going to just feed you information on what I know and what I can offer you.
She puts her hands up and she's like, look, if credits are all you want, fine. That's what you'll get. You give us useful information, we'll pay you for it.
And I say, well, the first thing I say is just, well, word on the street is that There are some visitors from the Empire here.
She nods. Yeah, we may have heard about that.
You may have heard about that? And they say, well, I may have heard about that in more detail.
So, start talking.
And I sort of look around for Neb. Like, is he coming back
yet? He's gone. You're alone. Yeah.
Oh, good God. Okay. Okay. Well, I need to figure out what my plan is here, out of character. Like,
sure. Do you want a minute? Should we?
Yeah. I mean, we need a minute.
So maybe, I mean, maybe like, you don't have to like have that conversation now. Maybe you can like make the connection.
Yeah.
And then you can leave, right?
We
can
catch everybody up. She's trying to gauge like how much these people know and how useful they're going to be for her. If they're just a bunch of people who are like, yeah, we're a bunch of and they're just a bunch of throwaways, like, if it's equivalent to talking to a stormtrooper, she's not going to waste her time. So.
Sure. Okay, well, we'll make a roll to see how that kind of, like, etiquette situation goes, right? Because you're going to, like, hang out and try to earn their trust, but you also don't want to, like, give up all your information, right?
Yeah, definitely don't want to give up all my information.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna assume unless you say so, you're not actually telling them anything any information, but you're just like getting in with them and trying to prove that you're trustworthy.
I'm trying to prove to them that I do know stuff that could be useful to them.
Okay. Well, what? Tell me something you're willing to tell them that will like get their attention. That'll like bite, basically.
I'm willing to tell them that I just came from the Upper City, and I'm going to say that I had seen someone coming from, or shooting from the Moff's place, and I saw a kid get murdered in front of me. Like, I'm going to play it like I was on the other side, though, not in.
Okay.
Not in. And that it was a small Rodian child.
Right. Okay.
So I'm going to really play upon sentiment here and try to get them to believe that, like, I was in the city and I saw a kid get murdered right in front of me.
Okay. So. Make a deception roll.
Okay.
Difficulty will say 2, and they're pretty suspicious still. So yeah, 2 and a black die.
Okay.
But if you're introducing like actual information into it, you can take a boost die as well.
Okay. And deception. Okay. Well. Yeah. Crap.
Do you want to spend a destiny point? Oh, you rolled. Okay.
Well, yeah. So what? That's right. Like neutral, what? I guess.
Yeah,
it's the most neutral thing. How the fuck does that even happen?
Yeah, good work. You fail to like ingratiate yourself, but it also doesn't make them more suspicious. So I think at the end of the night, like you sit there and you drink with them, and they don't reveal anything. Like all you ever get is her name. They don't reveal anything. They talk to you. They ask you questions. Occasionally, Greenskin will like say something to her, and then she'll ask you a question or whatever. Like it's obvious that she's talking for him. And then I think that at the end of the night, right, like there's some signal that it's like, okay, we're done with you. Like you can come back, but go and get us something. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe that she's like, if you can get proof that they're in the palace, that they're like killing innocent people. Like if you can get us some proof of that, like a photo or like video of that, then we'll talk. Right. Yeah. Bring us something we can use because
bring back the kid's head.
I mean, if you have proof, right, then they can broadcast it. They can turn it into a rebel propaganda film and be like, look, the Imperials are killing innocents on this planet. So, so they're just like, look, we don't really believe you yet, but if you could bring us some proof, if you can watch them, like if you have an in, like you say, bring us some holotape with proof on it, and we'll, you'll get invited in a little bit more. So.
Okay, and I agree. I agree, and I say, well, that's going to be easy then. And I immediately stand up, and if she allows, shake her hand again, saying nice to meet her, and look around to the table, and I don't really say much else.
Maybe give a
polite bow, like a half-assed bow to Greenskin, but that's it.
Okay.
So, and then I just turn and walk out. So, and as I walk out, as I walk out of the cantina, that is, and I'm back in the streets, I sort of like whisper into my comm to Talon, and I say, I think I got what we need. So, or I think I got
someone
a target.
Did something.
Yeah.
So, JP.
And then I.
You then will soon understand the plan. Right now, it's just, I'm on fire!
You murdered children! And blew up shit.
So you, yeah. So you say, like, I think I have something.
Children, and you ratted him out.
We follow you to the elevator and to the hyperlift, and I think that back in the house, like it's morning now, and we see probably there's a ruckus, right? There's a noise that like wakes you all up. So whoever comes to the door first, you see, and maybe you all kind of arrive in the hall at the same time. The door is open, and you see, TK-161, like getting his troops to bring Otto in, and Otto looks like he's been in like a pretty serious like firefight. Like he's obviously injured, he's unconscious. They're bringing him in on a stretcher, and 161 comes over to you, Talon, Agent Talon, he's like. My men found him like this in the South Continent. We don't know what happened.
He's just like knocked out.
Yeah, he's unconscious right now.
Do we have any medicine that can wake his ass up, or is this one of those like we have to wait things?
I
have inventory.
Yeah, so. If someone has a stim pack or whatever.
I also have a bio scanner, I think.
I have a stim.
Yeah, so. I'm just like wake him up.
Okay. Yeah.
Bella just kind of pushes past Aaron, and she's like, "Why am I not surprised?" And just like stims in the neck.
Okay. Just like on the floor, like they set him down. And you're like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Just throw him on the ground.
So Otto, you get from the stim pack. Make sure Bella, you mark off one from the stim pack. Yeah. You get five wounds back. Does that bring you below your threshold?
No.
He's still the first stim doesn't wake him up. It's like.
I'm at 14 of 13 wounds.
Okay. So there's a moment where you're like, wait, and maybe he like stirs a little bit and like groans in pain. And then 161 is just like,
wow, he's really out.
Can I can either bioscan him using a data pad. I have the hand scanner, so I can like scan him to see what his signs are, or I can just use one of my stim packs because I have one as well.
Just,
I have four.
Another stim pack.
So stim packs, again. You can, I don't care about
you. Wake him up, and he's gonna be screaming.
You can keep stimming. You can keep stimming him. You can keep stimming him, but each one gives you less hit points back. So the next one will give you four.
That's all. Well, I'll wake up in four. We need one.
Yeah. So I'll just use one of mine and wake him up. So I just walk up and stab it right next to it.
So how much does that give me back? Four?
Another four. Yeah.
All right.
So you've got like these stims just hanging out either side of your neck.
Yeah. So I come to, and I just like see where I'm at, and I just like rip the stims off, and then I look at the group and just, how long was I out?
I don't even know where to go here. I just sort of hand on head, as stressed as possible, just like, what happened?
The rebels blew up a building. I was trying to stop them.
You did a good job.
This was a recon mission. Did you see anything besides an explosion?
Look, I tried to stop him, all right? It was one against four. There's not much I can do.
Did you see where they went?
He thinks back, and in his head he just goes, to hell. Outward, he's just like, no. They're down there somewhere.
Well, good news is, we know there are rebels on the planet.
There's also, I also saw a shuttle that looks like it was from this place.
Oh, great. So the Moth is in obviously rebel-controlled territory. We have no idea where they've gone. So we have no evidence that the Moth was in league with them. And the only one doing any work here is the one I'm forcing to do the work! And he just, like, storms off and just... like furiously leaves and just goes back to the office / room.
Then once he leaves, I turn to Belsa and just, do you have a hard night of reading?
I just like shake my head. I'm like 12 hours, but he won't acknowledge it, will he? Never does.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna go get myself.
I just started, I'm, uncomfortable now because I'm like, oh, God. I'm, sort of out of my element at this point, and I'm usually not someone that gets uncomfortable, but I just sort of, you see me walk off, and I don't go in the room with Theron. I just sort of, chill outside and wait for him. Like, any audible sign that he has cooled down. So, I'm just waiting.
I just give her the dagger eyes.
And I just shrug. I'm like, oh, I can't help.
I can teach his pet.
It's not my fault.
I stand up and turn to 161 and put out my hand and say thank you.
Yeah, so you shake his hand. He salutes you, and he's like,
"To be fair, sir, I heard it was a pretty big explosion."
I kind of smirk and be like, "Yeah, yeah." Just turn around, start and limp out of the room because I'm fucking. I don't know what damage was done to me, but I'm all fucked up.
Yeah, you're all distracted and messed up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool, okay. Do you want to... Let's check in on how to heal that... how to heal that wound, on your own.
How to heal the critical wound?
Yeah.
It says, I can click it and say heal. Does that just remove it?
That'll just remove it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, when you exceed it, you're knocked out. There's a difficulty, yeah, recovering from wounds. So natural rest, one full night of rest will cover one wound.
It has one little triangle, so is that one wound?
No, so that's one point of wounds. So
that's one diamond.
How many points of wounds do you have right now? What's your wound at?
Oh, my wound is at 10 of 13.
Okay, so it would take 10 days to get back to zero. Okay. If you, each night you rest, you get that back.
Okay.
At the end of a week of rest, you can make a resilience test to recover from one of your critical injuries. The difficulty is equal to its severity, which is that little triangle.
Gotcha.
But someone can use someone with a medicine skill can attempt a medical check to
can I
you.
Can I? I mean, this to me this fits Otto perfectly, being a fucking soldier that has trained medicine. Could I just patch myself up and drink at the same time?
Yeah, totally. So we get the scene of do you go back to your room?
Yeah, and I unbutton my leather vest.
It's two stormtroopers carry him in.
Yeah. Well, you're taking your armor, your jacket off, and it's melted to your back in places, right?
Yeah,
it's
I'm pulling. I'm pulling skin off as I peel it off and stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. If you want to make a medical test, you've got a medical kit, and you're spraying back to spray on your back.
Okay. What's the
The difficulty of the check is based on your current threshold. So you're more than half. So it's an average difficulty. It's two dice, two purple dice, and then you successfully if you roll successfully, you recover a number of wounds equal to the number of successes on the roll.
So if I'm successful, the crit goes away.
No, the crit will stay. Well, do you want to heal the crit or the the other...
I want to heal the crit. I don't care about the wounds.
Okay, you can keep your wound threshold. Okay, so you want to recover from the crit. It's less difficult to recover from.
Okay.
It's one medicine check per week if you fail. You can go ahead and make that. It's just a one triangle difficulty.
Okay. I think this is the last roll of the show, so I'll use this last light die.
I'll use one of mine too. Fantastic. So one upgrade, one upgrade on your side, and one upgrade on the dark side.
So will it? That means it'll automatically turn that purple to a red.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Here's the medicine check. Two successes.
Hey.
Good job.
There you go. Nice work. Okay. So you recover. You recover the crit. The critical wound goes away. You can just click the heal button. That'll get rid of it. But you're still exhausted and.
Yeah, no, I pass out from the pain. I pass out with the whatever it is to heal myself, or the syringe still in my stomach or something like that, and just pass out on the bed.
Sure. Yeah.
Space whiskey.
Yeah. You spray the stuff on your back, and it starts to treat the wound. Then you just kind of slump over, and we just see the stormtrooper that's guarding your. Guarding your room, just standing there, at attention, holding his blaster.
Yeah, that works.
Cool.
Good worker. Can I knock on Theron's door yet?
Yeah.
So, I bang on the door and say, "Sir," and wait for him if he ever says anything.
I open the door a little bit, but just enough to like, yeah, just a crack. But then I walk away. Like, come on in if you're coming in.
I immediately walk in and I say, "Sir, I need to report to you what I found, if anything."
What did you find?
Well, then I go on to explain like the whole situation of I found my friend. I don't reveal my friend's name, but I say I found an old friend. And he led me to a greenskin, Athorian. Didn't catch his name, but Talonol. I tell him about Talonol and how she was formerly the 501st, and how I tell them about their lovely decorations of rebel and stormtrooper helmets, and then how they want me to bring back proof. And I say, "So, sir, I basically framed it to where I'm looking for to join their side, and I need to bring back proof."
Proof of?
That you guys are making a presence again. Because they think that we are not present anymore.
Theron goes over to his desk, and on the desk there, which I guess is the old Moff's desk, is a like a little data pad that he brought with him. Mm-hmm. And he brings up an image and throws it to Lena, and on the image is a it's pretty fuzzy, but it's obviously that there's someone shown, and it's being taken from like the inside of a speeder, but like looking out at someone, and wherever the image is, it is definitely someplace familiar to Lena. Like, she knows what that is and would easily recognize it as someone she knows, and it's very obvious that it's a photo of two men watching this person. And I throw it to her, and I'm like, I just give a little nod and say, "You've earned it today. Let's just say everything is fine." And it's been, what, 1.5 cycles since I last checked in? And we both know what happens at 2. So how about I make my call, and you go plan us up some chaos, because we've got some rebels to show that we're in town. And I, like, go back to my computer and just start tapping away.
And you see her face just go, like, all white, like she's just seen a ghost or something. And she looks at the data pad and immediately shuts it off, like she knows, like, she doesn't want to deal with it. Yeah, she can't look at it. And then she doesn't even say anything. She just walks out. Clearly, just, she can't say anything. Words are, like, words have left her. So she goes to planning.
Okay, cool. So, do you get help with that? I mean, you have a master tactician in the group. So maybe it occurs to you to go to Belle for that information.
Yeah,
or you just like to blow stuff up and take pictures of it.
No, I think what my plan is to I want to go get some holo footage of like the leftover remains of the burnt rebel propaganda. That JP or that Otto did, and then also just of the bodies. Like, I could get a nice pan of like the Rodian dead kid that's been eaten to bits by like animals now, but also like he had a roller that he was putting up a poster. It's clear that he was a sympathizer and got killed for it. So, I mean, I want to get like footage of that and then take it back to him and be like, "See, I told you." So. Because I think that would be enough, especially with a child getting killed, especially an alien getting killed, that they would be like, "Ooh!" Especially this, because that greenskin guy, he smuggles in aliens to the middle part. So it's clear he likes the middle part, the middle part. City,
center part, named after a popular haircut there. I'm just imagining everyone with a terrible center part haircut. Yeah, like you could just bring them like, "Here's a shot of some dead people and here's a shot of like whatever." But like what they really want is something that'll get the crowd fired up. That'll be like the Empire is still a real enemy and still like needs to be fought.
Think a dead Rodian child who was
But remember the picture, like you could show them video of a dead kid, but there's no proof the Empire did that.
Yeah.
It's just here's a dead kid. Okay.
Look, if you want, we can just go. We can just spend a night going into the city and just tearing shit down. We have stormtroopers. Like, well, we have Otto, like, who gives no shit.
Gun and peeps.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Okay, well, I go to Belsa and I say, yeah, I need your help with something, if you have time. And you still see I'm, like, white. Like, I'm still, like, ghost white. Like, just terrified of something. But, yeah.
If it's for the Empire, then I can certainly make time.
And I go, yeah, it's definitely for the Empire, but it's to convince the Rebellion that you guys are here and very much taking back control so I can get inside.
Belle kind of smiles and she's like, I'm sure we can work something out.
And then I go, okay, well, I'll let you work your magic, and I need footage that looks like I'm not obviously with you guys.
I really like how, you know, like, as we play through this game, stealing stuff from Star Wars sources makes sense, but I feel like we've just accidentally stolen part of the plot of Spider-Man. go out there and take some photos of the Empire in yourself. Action.
Yeah.
You're obviously not part of the Empire. Just to, you know, take pictures of the
They're
Empire.
Like glamour shots of Otto, like, with his gun.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm from, like, I gotta be, like, at weird angles where I'm, like, in a building clearly not supposed to be there. So.
Do I wake up at any point, or am I just sleeping through the night? Because I wanted to have a conversation with Theron.
You arrived in the morning, but like you sleep for a few hours after you like pass out. But yeah, you can be awake to talk to Theron if you want.
I'll just wake up at whatever point I wake up, and I just go and walk into. Are you still in the room, Jesse? I guess I go ask 161.
I'm clearly just tapping away at data pads and all sorts of crap, trying to figure out what the hell's going on this planet.
Okay. Yeah, I go over and ask 161 where Theron's at. He tells me, and I go in the door. I knock and say, sir, may I enter the room?
Everyone else does.
I kind of like let out a sigh and shut the door. Let's say, well, does everyone else propose an idea? Because I have one, sir.
I'd love to hear this.
I kind of like walk up to him and say, if the Moth allowed this planet to be as bad as it is, why don't we just blame the bombing on him, remove him, put his son in power, since you've clearly already warped his brain, and allow this planet to prosper?
How long do you think the rebels will allow a child to rule over them? No, my friend, there are other answers, but for now, I do agree. The Moth is troublesome, but until he arrives, we can do nothing with him or against him, so we wait. We wait and plan.
I just kind of like tap my fingers on the desk and my back starts to hurt from the fucking bomb that I just endured. And be like, that. Okay, as you wish, sir. But I just exit the room.
Cool. Okay.
Maybe that's right. Where we
so,
end.
So, yeah, that seems like a good place. Like, yeah,
that's not a plan, but she'll save it for the next episode.
You turn with a grimace and leave, and then yeah, we'll come back, and Belle, you can be giving the Star Wars briefing speech where you can tell everybody your plan.
At the end it just zooms in on Belle and she's like sort of going at it, and then it just fades to black.
Yeah, like, some guy's talking about womp rats. He's like, it's just like shooting womp rats back home.
Everything isn't like shooting womp rats, Luke. I can do that. Just like shooting womp rats.
There we go.
Say womp rats one more goddamn time.
All right, cool. Well, let's do some shout-outs and call it an episode. Strippin, let's start with you. We'll go backwards this time. Strippin, go ahead.
What's up, guys? My name's Strippin. You can find me on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, just at Strippin. I'm a variety caster. I stream a bunch of stuff. Well, I used to. Now I'm just going to stream Dark Souls. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Not really variety then, huh?
Yeah.
Was. X variety. But, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, no, this was a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying the balance of power roleplay. I think it's not going to be for, like, what, 3 weeks now?
Yeah, I think 3 weeks, yeah, because of PAX.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks for having me. As always, peace. Peace out.
There you go. Pocket.
As always, peace.
Do some shout-outs.
Hopefully JP has my card right this time. Twitch.tv/pocket. POKKET. And I stream Tuesday through Saturdays, but some Saturdays I do roleplay for a while. But yeah, and I stream variety games. I'm playing Ratchet and Clank, not Dark Souls, because I'm not good at Dark Souls. But I've been having fun with roleplay as well, and I think that I have the most confusing character on the show. So, so far. But I look forward to seeing all of our characters unfold together, and maybe not together. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
So thank you for having me on.
Jesse, some shout-outs?
Yo, yeah. This week's PAX. So every PAX I do my usual, like, I'm playing indie games this week. Indie games you can find at PAX. That'll be, like, a thing if you go to my channel. And other than that, man, I want to be a bad guy, but it's so hard when JP is an even worse human being. So I guess I'm just regional manager Talon right now, just trying to keep the ship together. And
That's how I feel you are.
You're not a true fucked up person until you shoot a bomb, knowing good and well that you're probably gonna explode.
No. I knew you were fucked up after you shot a little kid and then hit 16 more people. The bomb doesn't surprise me at all.
At that point, the bomb's expected.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
There you go.
So, yes. And then PAX. And if you're at PAX, I'm on like a bajillion D panels and shit. So come to all of them. Follow me on Twitter to get all the information.
There you go. I think everyone here on the show will actually be at PAX, so.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to stop us and say hi. We should have done a panel, but I didn't think about that. Oh well. Jesse's on too many panels, anyways. He couldn't have made.
There's always more PAXes.
That's true.
Yeah, there's always like 50 more PAXes.
There's always a PAX and a lighthouse and all that stuff. Adam, do it.
Oh shit!
Do a shout out, Adam. Please save us from this terrible joke.
I would be happy to. Thanks for coming, everybody. I am having a great time with the Dark Sides. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/AdamCoble, but I'm only going to be streaming probably tomorrow and Tuesday before I also wing my way off to PAX. So we'll goof around with some Dark Souls. And yeah. Otherwise, while I'm away, I've got a bunch of stuff coming up on my YouTube channel. So you should check that out. You can get all the links on my website or follow me on Twitter at SkinnyGhost. And I will see you and these nerds again very soon.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so the next time we play, let me just pull up my calendar. PAX is next week, the 30th. The 7th will be... No, sorry. The 1st...
7th is us.
Yeah.
8th is us.
No. The 1st of May will be a light side show. And then the 8th of May will be a dark side show. So there you go. Those are the next episodes of Balance Power. And we'll all update the schedule and stuff with all that as well. So... thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next time. We're out. Have a good one. Bye.
Forever. Bye. Bye.